cash register rings to announce that someone has opened the cash drawer and has access to the cash. It was hoped that, by drawing attention to the opening of the cash drawer, the bell would discourage employee theft. In fact, one of the first cash registers with a bell was called a thief catcher.
That's not very nice.
Yeah. But see, you got it right, so that kind of brings on a whole different connotation of how come you know that. Oh, gee Louise. So what kind of an impact does Christmas have? We've been hearing the ads about the Christmas trees, which certainly is part of that equation, but there's a whole lot more stuff that happens during Christmas. Do you see a bump in the activity level or in the volume?
Well, we do, and certainly along Christmas trees. And do just want to remind everybody that HWMA and Humboldt Sanitation and Recology at all of our transfer stations, we will be taking Christmas trees for disposal and recycling, and that can be done free. And if Recology customers are wanting to have them picked up, I'll actually defer to Linda on this one. But certainly if you want to drop off your tree at a transfer station here in Eureka, you can drop them off now until January 10th.
Yeah. same thing down in Fortuna. We'll accept them. There's a number of spaces that are there are places where people can drop them off for free. We do pick them up at the curbside as part of people's green waste programs. They can just set them out. The unflocked ones with all the decorations taken off next to their green waste can, and we'll put it through our green waste system. I do enjoy having the pine trees this time of year because it gives the pine needles give a little scrubbing on the inside of the trucks and gives us that nice fresh pine scent.
Does it matter if they're flocked or not?
It does.
Yeah.
Flocked trees cannot be recycled. And of course, when we say recycled in this case, they are being chipped up for mulch or compost. So Christmas trees need to have all their decorations, all the ornaments, and the garland, and the tinsel and lights. Everything needs to be removed, and we cannot accept flocked trees.
Do people use garland anymore?
Yeah.
Some people do. I actually find myself a little flummoxed at times asking, do people still flock their trees?
Oh.
I've had several people ask me, what does that mean?
Yeah. It's definitely one of those words that can be misunderstood.
What about Christmas wrapping paper and the packaging and some of those types of things that are either could be plastic, could be that thinner plastic, thicker plastic, the container stuff. Is that a problem also?
Oh, boy, Brian, I'm glad you asked that. There's so much more material that comes in through collection this time of year, people having to strip food and boxes and things that stuff is coming in for your presents and whatnot. We do see a lot more wrapping paper and ribbons and that kind of thing. Those the foil and the glittery wrapping paper is not recyclable. And perhaps your listeners might remember that for next year, that we might want to find something that looks more like the brown paper bags they get at the grocery store, something along those lines, maybe decorate it themselves with pen and ink. That kind of wrapping paper is not recyclable. Neither are a lot of the Christmas cards people get. They usually have some sort of foil on them. I would suggest people take their Christmas cards and cut them up and make them into nice little gift card, for the tags on the presents for next year and hold on to them. Also, a lot of people are getting presents that have packaging that's with them that's either plastic or styrofoam. Neither one of those can go into the recycling either. It does go into the garbage. And try not to crunch it up too much. That's styrofoam, because it does turn into little balls and goes all over the place. But it is, those things are definitely not recyclable.
And one other item that I would add, because I was a little surprised to see this come through. Typically, people receive gifts in bags, and they'll be, you know, festive with the tissue paper. And some of the tissue paper now is being sold with a plastic lining, and that's not going to be recyclable either.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not recyclable.
That was
tissue paper with a plastic lining. I wonder what that's all about.
I don't know, but it was pretty disappointing to see. I think, you know, for folks that have been, you know, sort of tracking what's happening in the world of waste and recycling, one of the things that we've seen is that the plastics industry is constantly looking out to see where they can move into new markets. And so we are seeing a shift of not just items that have been associated with Christmas, but a number of items that are beginning to shift from just sort of just paper to having some sort of plastic lining or a complete shift over into plastic packaging.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Jill Duffy and Linda Wise. The concept of electronic, or I guess batteries and other computers, TVs, In the old days, something stuck in my head that said if there was solder involved. Okay, that's how electronic waste was defined. And then batteries got into play and a whole bunch of other things. What is electronic waste?
Anything that I'm going to just sort of say, anything that's got essentially a motherboard and electronic charge, oftentimes it's going to have, you know, precious metals, gold and silver for the electrical conductivity, and that can all be recycled. So, you know, your cell phones, your old stereos, and, you know, clocks, any host of items that, you know, a lot of people are using and a lot of people get for Christmas. Any of those items can be brought down to HWMA, and they can be disposed of at no charge now. So we are encouraging that, you know, people clear out those old stereos that are in the closet, bring them down, we'll get them recycled. And, you know, that goes with, we do separate collection for batteries and computers and television screens are a flat rate of $2 for disposal on those items.
So obviously they shouldn't go in the garbage can.
They should definitely not go in the garbage can.
So somebody actually, there's a process that will extract the silver and the gold and that kind of stuff from all the other that isn't worth anything?
Yeah, there are a couple of e-waste processors, and all that material is regularly shipped down to them. And then they go through the process of, you know, breaking things apart and recovering those items.
Boy,
so they could be recycled.
That's got to be an interesting process. I mean, just, you know, 15 minutes interest, not career interest. But to be able to go through that, and then they just sell that on the open market, the residuals?
Yeah. You know, and I think the thing is that, you know, this is material that can be, you know, truly recycled again. And, you know, it's essentially you're mining it. So rather than putting it into landfills, go ahead and get it into an area where it can be recovered and recycled.
Now, you mentioned landfills. We haven't heard too much about that in the last couple of years. Do you miss it?
Which one?
I don't know. Take any of the public hearings that you got to play with early on. I don't care.
Well, for our local landfill, the Cummings Road Landfill, it was closed, and we had our construction closure. And so we are now responsible for 30 years of post-closure monitoring activities, and it's just going to continue with an ongoing maintenance and environmental monitoring activities for that particular site. All of the garbage that is generated in Humboldt County is transported to out-of-county landfills, and that the bulk of our material goes to Dry Creek Landfill, located outside of Medford, and then some material does go over to the Anderson Landfill. So there are no current open landfills, and it's one of the reasons why our garbage rates are higher, because we incur a considerable cost to have that material transported for disposal.
I think last time the three of us got together, there was discussion about barges in Asia waiting to have somewhere to unload. Is that still going on?
That was for recycling. I'll let Linda kind of dive in with some of the latest activities on that front.
Yeah. You know, a lot of, you know, trade that's happens in, on the West Coast here, and what happens with the commodities that we pull out of the recycling stream gets barged to places in Southeast Asia. And it's usually a round trip of some sort, and then the containers will come back with product. And there are times when there are difficulties with finding ports or countries that it will accept the material, because particularly in this time of year, there's competition for barging. Some of the things that have happened as a result of having a National Sword, that was the that was a Chinese enactment of the law where they no longer were taking some recycling over there. That impacted some of this round trip and savings of barging costs of products coming to the United States. So it is more challenging than it used to be to find markets, partially because of transportation, but also in countries that can take it. And so that's the reason why our materials have to be very clean to be able to compete with other people who are producing this material, because they can be choosy now with what comes into their countries.
Now, are manufacturers taking the packaging into consideration when they put their stuff together and creating new different, or it's just that's somebody else's issue?
Yeah, I think traditionally people haven't really had to put much thought into it, but that's changing. There's some new laws that are coming on the books or being introduced in the state of California, and maybe even being looked at federally to start doing what is called circular economy. And building on that in the United States, where we're recycling our own packaging and being more responsible for the packaging that we produce, so that it's not being shipped overseas. It is terribly inefficient, and also is, it's a bit of a waste of a resource. So
we'll talk about some suggestions we might have for them when we come back. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Jill Duffy from HWMA, still, and Linda Wise from Humboldt Recology. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Before the break, Linda, we were talking about packaging and the demands that maybe the marketplace has, at least the ultimate consumer has, that the manufacturers aren't currently recognizing at this point. I suppose it's, you'll love this, drawing an analogy to the fast food industry. Once somebody breaks and does something, the competition will then follow immediately in response to that activity, as long as it's perceived as a positive move in the marketplace. Do you think it's going to be an American company that comes out with totally recyclable or reprocessable packaging, or do you think it's going to be a foreign concern that sees and recognizes what's going on and wants to get out in front of it?
So I think it's definitely a business niche out there for this kind of business. Before right. the pandemic, there was a lot of movement with people were more concerned about responsible packaging and looking for products that were packaged more in more sustainable packaging, looking for products that were perhaps not in plastic tubes like toothpaste, and maybe looking at finding tablet toothpaste and not using the plastic bags for their produce any longer than maybe using reusable cotton bags for that. And you can find those kind of things out on the marketplace. It's just a matter of making sure of knowing what we were talking about before, what to look for, and asking your retailers where it's located in their store. If they don't have it, a lot of times some of these things that people see are new to them too, and they're willing to handle it. Just before the pandemic, Brian, I know I turned you on to the tablet toothpaste and the bamboo toothbrush. A lot of the stores started picking those up locally. So that, and to me, I like it. It's a better product. And it was starting to really take off. So hopefully we can start small and start doing some of these waste reduction activities ourselves. And as demand starts to increase, these niches will open up and people will start making this kind of packaging.
I suppose it'll be an indication that something larger scale is happening when a chain grocery store or big box starts to carry these products. Because that's where the volume is, obviously, not the boutiques.
Right. And, you know, and I would add that there are a lot of sort of smaller manufacturers that are indeed trying to do this. So, for example, there's a woman who's located in Crescent City, Otterbees, and she's producing an all-organic deodorant, which is packaged completely in cardboard. So there's no plastic that's associated with the packaging. So I think that there are some niche folks trying to demonstrate that it can be done. And then I think the other piece besides the larger industries that start picking it up is going to be efforts that will be undertaken by the National Recycling Strategy that the U.S. EPA is undertaking, as well as the California Statewide Commission on Recycling and Marketing. And I think that there's this growing awareness that, you know, local government and the solid waste industry, you know, we don't have control over these products that are in the marketplace, and yet, you know, we're consistently being asked to be responsible for the management and the disposal. And as we continue to kind of have all these little, you know, special areas of concern, it becomes, really challenging to figure out how we manage it for the smaller volumes.
Now, one area that we've not touched on is automotive. You know, you got a lot of the recyclers or the dismantlers, you know, they're doing the big stuff. But there's lots of components within those. Do they break those out and then it ends up being recycled or disposed of? Or are there other things that are going on? You know, the old days, it was, you know, the oil. If you changed your own oil, you had to do certain things, or if you were washing your car, that kind of stuff, more on the ultimate consumer end of that. But the entire automotive chain post-consumer, is that changing also?
That there are those kind of, that's called the producer responsibility kind of laws. Are there in Europe, you find that a lot there. People, all manufacturers of all products there have to find and market for the waste that happens as a result of the product, which means, you know, just the entire car itself, all the components have to be able to be recyclable. So that... In the United States, we don't have that here yet.
Not for the autos.
It will happen in this lifetime.
Right.
But,
and,
go ahead.
Not being able to see each other, we're going to fall over each other. But one of the things I want to add, Linda was just identifying the extended producer responsibility, and we do have some active programs like the mattress recycling or carpet recycling. You know, the e-waste is an early example of that. So, again, it is more sort of product-specific, where consumers are paying a fee upfront at the time of purchase so that material is being handled when they're bringing it in for, in this case, recycling.
What do you do with an old carpet?
It's going to a processor located in the Bay Area. They basically break it apart because many of the carpets, we don't have you can have wool carpets and whatnot, but most carpets are made of synthetics, and so they are able to reconstitute them into a variety of different products, including oftentimes insulation, which is in cars or dashboards or some other items like that. So there are a variety of items that the materials can be reconstituted into.
Huh. Well, good. I was thinking wool carpets would end up in wool clothing, and that just didn't sound right.
but you do have manufacturers such as Patagonia, and they encourage people to have their materials recycled. They do have a recycling program as well. Again, it's very sort of niche, and it's a small volume kind of thing, but it is an effort to demonstrate there are ways to recover and recycle many of these items.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Joe Duffy and Linda Wise. New laws, new regs, all that kind of stuff. We didn't hear there's much with the California Vehicle Code. Is there anything with the environmental side of things that are going into effect later this week?
Well, from an environmental perspective that affects transfer stations and landfills, there is actually a pretty big one, and it's actually an older law that was passed in 2007, which recognized a treated wood waste as a hazardous waste and prohibited general material from being disposed of at transfer stations and landfills. There was a waiver that was put into place for incidental volumes of material. So when people are doing home improvement projects and they're relatively small amounts of material, that they could be dropped off at transfer stations and rural container drop-off sites. And effective January 1st, the California Department of Toxic Substance Control will no longer allow the landfill disposal of treated wood waste, which means transfer stations in California will be conducting load checks, and we are not allowed to accept that material. It has to be handled as a hazardous waste. Fortunately, we do have a hazardous waste facility, which is located here at HWMA. However, it wasn't designed to kind of handle this volume of materials. It was designed to be a household hazardous waste, which is smaller volume. Typically, we get containers in 1 quart to 1 gallon size containers. And as we know, pressure treated wood can be pretty long. And we lack some storage area and the manner in which we ship it. Everything has to be reduced down to 3 feet in length so that we can fit them into our shipping containers. We are hopeful, and we have been working with a number of state organizations with the State Department of Toxic Substance Control to see if we can get a variance for this kind of material, but that's probably not going to get put into play until well into the new year.
So for the private homeowner that's doing something, let's say a raised garden bed or some such thing, okay, we can take our circular saws and rip them down. But what about the big boys that are doing these large projects, like not building a home, but building an apartment building kind of home?
Sure.
So what do? They get next out?
They are already required to be handling that material as treated wood waste, hazardous waste, because of the volume. That's not incidental, and they are a business.
Okay, so it's just now for everybody, same set of rules.
Yep, that's correct.
So that gets dropped off then as a hazardous waste rather than at the major location or the primary location?
That is correct. So it needs to come into our hazardous waste facility, and for residential customers, there's a 100-pound limit, and they need to be in 3-foot sections. And I can hear the eye rolling from some people, and we really apologize. There was a piece of legislation that the governor vetoed, and so this is required all facilities to pivot pretty quickly because it is a pretty big change for many of us.
Well, I'm sure we'll be reminded of this as the new year goes forth. Thanks, ladies. Enjoy New Year's. Hopefully it'll be somewhat calm, and talk next time.
All right. Thank you all very much.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.